You're listening to an episode of a Wondery Plus exclusive series. To continue listening, join Wondery Plus and enjoy ad-free listening to over 40,000 episodes, early access to your favorite podcasts, and more. Find Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Before we begin, a quick note about some of the dialogue you'll hear. Sports Wars is based on extensive research, sourcing, and archival clips. When clips aren't available, we sometimes will recreate scenes. While we can't always know exactly what was said, the dialogue is based on our best research of what happened. It's February 1985, and in the visitors' locker room at Chicago Stadium, Isaiah Thomas is getting ready to do what he does best. Flash his million-dollar smile, fake a defender out of his shoes, and then blow past him for an easy layup. He's 23 years old, and this is his fourth season in the NBA. As the point guard for the Detroit Pistons, he's been an all-star in each of his seasons and just made his first playoff appearance. Tonight, well, tonight is special. He's not just suiting up for another game in the visitors' locker room, he's awaiting a hero's welcome. As Isaiah tucks in his jersey, he hears the rumble of 13,000 excited fans. Yeah, they're Bulls fans, but they know he's the hometown kid, Chicago born and raised. They'll definitely have a soft spot for the local boy made good. But a few minutes later, as he slowly jogs onto the court, he's hit with one hell of a surprise. They're booing him. Him! Isaiah, Chicago's own, the neighborhood kid. Isaiah's crushed. He made it all the way from the rundown playground courts in this very town to the NBA, and he's done nothing but give back to his hometown since. So what if he plays for the Pistons? Come on, this is home. Or so he thought. Isaiah used to sneak into this very stadium as a kid to watch his basketball heroes soar through the air like gods. He imagined some kids from the West Side, the area he's from, would be here cheering for him the same way today. But the city, including those kids, already seemed to have their own hero, and it's not him. In the sea of red, black, and white Chicago jerseys he sees up in the stands, he can't help but notice that a whole lot of them are number 23, the Bulls' flashy new rookie's number. Only a few months into the season, that rookie, the kid from North Carolina, has taken the whole league by storm. His name? Michael Jordan. The next day, Isaiah goes to his old neighborhood with his agent and a few friends and proudly takes them to Gladys Park, the court he played on as a kid. He knows every crack and bad bounce of the asphalt. A bunch of local kids are there playing a pickup game, and of course, Isaiah decides to join in. He knows what a moment like this would have meant to him when he played here way back when. An NBA player, a star NBA player, coming down to Gladys Park to hoop with the neighborhood kids? Not in a million years. As the game gets more and more intense, Isaiah can tell that this isn't going to be some casual celebrity shoot-around. There's not going to be any pictures or autographs. These kids want to beat him. Badly. A kid in a Bulls number 23 jersey tells him, "You ain't nothing. Jordan's the man. Jordan is definitely better than you." Jordan? Really? I grew up on these streets. Show a little respect, Isaiah thinks. The kids are setting tough screens, fouling hard, not giving up an inch. That Jordan wannabe really wants to win. But this is Isaiah Thomas. He's not gonna let that happen. Thomas wins the game. Isaiah's real beef isn't with the kids he just beat on his old home court. His beef is with the rookie who's quickly become the new hero in his hometown and across America. The new sensation he'll go head-to-head against for a decade, Michael Jordan.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
From Wondery, I'm Dan Rubenstein, and this is Sports Wars. Today, we start our first of two series on big NBA rivalries, soap operas, really. We begin with Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, two greats whose teams fought for the Eastern Conference crown throughout the 80s and 90s. And after that, we'll jump ahead to the early 2000s when Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant competed for fame and glory inside the same locker room on the same dominant Lakers squad. But first, a four-part series on the battle between two basketball legends, Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. Most sports fans now consider Michael Jordan to be the greatest NBA player of all time, if not the greatest athlete of all time. But before he became a champion, he was a flashy young player who was known more for his individual ability to score than winning championships. Isaiah Thomas and his team, the Detroit Pistons. Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas were from different worlds, but both had something in common. A desire, really an all-consuming obsession, to prove they belonged. Isaiah's Detroit Pistons became known as the Bad Boys thanks to their bruising style of play. And they were the first ones to figure out how to stop Michael Jordan. And it got personal. In the process, Jordan would transform his game, in part because of his heated rivalry with Isaiah. And Isaiah, for all of his accomplishments as an all-time great, would struggle to make peace with his hometown, falling out of love with him and in love with an adopted hero. This is Episode 1, The Freeze Out. In 1981, Isaiah Thomas bursts onto the national scene as a star college point guard of the Indiana Hoosiers. He does get off to a rocky start with fiery head coach Bobby Knight, but they soon see eye to eye and bring out the best in each other. Isaiah is named a captain ahead of his sophomore season, during which he carves up all challengers and is named a first-team All-American. Isaiah and the Hoosiers go on to win the Big Ten Conference, then march through the NCAA tournament to the title game against the University of North Carolina. Isaiah is clutch, scoring 19 of his 23 points in the second half to hold off the Tar Heels.
Congratulations to Indiana. Congratulations to Bobby Knight. The Hoosiers are 1981 champions.
Isaiah is named the tournament's most outstanding player and declares for the upcoming NBA draft. He desperately wants to play for his hometown Bulls, who have two picks in the top 10 of the draft. Playing in Chicago is his dream. Isaiah Thomas grew up as the youngest of nine kids in the Windy City. He got his older siblings' attention by putting on crazy dribbling displays with his basketball. Every summer, the West Side gangs would go house by house, claiming new members. One year, when Isaiah was a teenager, they came to his door, 25 gang members, with eyes on Isaiah and his six brothers. The gang leader tells Mary Thomas that her kids have to join a gang in this neighborhood. Isaiah's mom looks the gang leader in the eye, turns around, and goes to the bedroom. A minute later, she comes back with a sawed-off shotgun. There's only one gang around here, and that's the Thomas gang. And I lead that. Get off my porch, or I'll blow you across the expressway. But the Thomas gang has problems of its own. An absent father, a sibling undone by drugs, and a mother who, despite her best efforts, struggles to put food on the table. Early on in life, Isaiah finds a good way to keep his mind off his groaning stomach and the fear of violence, playing basketball. And in the end, it's his way out of poverty. Naturally, as Isaiah enters the 1981 NBA draft, he wants to play for his hometown Bulls. Thomas goes as far as skipping physical exams for teams picking early in the draft, hoping to drop so the Bulls can select him. He all but tells those teams with draft picks ahead of Chicago to screw off. First, he says it to Dallas, who owns the draft's first overall pick. Then, he tries the same thing with Detroit. He tells the Pistons front office that he, quote, doesn't want to be in a trash car city. But they aren't falling for it. Isaiah can say whatever he wants, but the Pistons are still going to draft him if they get the chance. He's just too good to pass up.
Detroit picks 6'1", 180 pounds, Isaiah Thomas.
He's selected second overall by the Detroit Pistons and signs a seven-figure deal. Suddenly, the youngest of nine who battled violence and poverty as a kid in Chicago is now a millionaire NBA player. In Detroit. It's fall, 1981. The same year that Isaiah turns pro, Michael Jordan starts his freshman year at North Carolina. The school is fresh off a national title game loss to Isaiah Thomas's Indiana Hoosiers. Jordan has a simple mission in Chapel Hill, home of the UNC Tar Heels. Prove to everyone along the way, whoever doubted or slighted him, that they're dead wrong. It's a long list. It starts with the kids he grew up with on the Carolina coast. He can see them now. The white kids scrambling out of the pool when he would dive in. The same kids hurling racist insults at him on the basketball court, leaving Michael no choice but to fake them out with his deadly crossover dribble and drive past them to finish easily at the hoop. You know who else? Michael's dad, James. He was sometimes a doubter too, yelling at his son for being lazy, not dedicated enough, for not practicing harder. He can also see his high school coach telling him during his sophomore year that he's too short to play varsity. Here at UNC, Jordan's going to show all of them just how wrong they were. And his revenge plans are off to a good start. In Jordan's freshman season, the Tar Heels make it to the NCAA Finals in a game filled with future Hall of Famers like James Worthy and Patrick Ewing. But in the final seconds, it's Michael Jordan who shows a side of himself that would soon become legend.
The time, 18.
Jordan's clutch game winner seals the victory for North Carolina, and his superstar potential is obvious to everybody watching. He plays two more seasons at North Carolina and is named an All-American during his sophomore and junior years. In 1984, after his junior season, he's named College Player of the Year and declares for the NBA draft.
The Chicago Bulls pick Michael Jordan of the University of North Carolina.
Michael Jordan is taking his obsession with winning at anything to Chicago. It may be his greatest strength on the court, it's also his greatest weakness. He can't do anything, even in practice, without keeping score. At UNC, Jordan would keep a running tally of how many teammates he was dunking on in each practice. His own teammates. One time, MJ's college roommate invited Jordan home to play cards with his mother. When the older woman left the room, Jordan jumped out of his seat and checked her hand. It wasn't for laughs. It wasn't about money. It was about winning. He's not going to let anyone beat him, not even his buddy's mom playing cards with nothing on the line. Nobody. It's late morning on February 9th, 1985, in Indianapolis, a bitter, snowy winter day. It's an icy 22 degrees outside, but Michael Jordan is on fire. It's the weekend of the NBA All-Star Game. Jordan's first. He's only been in the league for half a season, but he's already taken the NBA by storm with his tongue wagging, big smiling, high flying style. He's quickly becoming a walking billboard for the league. This weekend is his chance to prove he's already one of today's greats. He'll be surrounded by the league's biggest stars, names like Dr. J, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Moses Malone, led by stylish and charming Lakers coach Pat Riley. He really can't wait to get his chance to bond with his fellow Eastern Conference All-Stars and show what he can do against the best the Western Conference has to offer. With Indianapolis hosting the game, the big draws and unofficial hosts of the weekend are native son Larry Bird, along with Indiana's adopted son from his college days, Isaiah Thomas. The locals haven't forgotten how Isaiah helped to bring the basketball-crazed state an NCAA championship when he played for the Hoosiers in 1981. Thomas has been making the rounds, but Jordan hasn't really had any FaceTime with him yet. MJ's excited to meet him and all the NBA greats in town, really rub elbows with his all-star peers. But like everyone else here in Indy, Jordan is fully aware that he is the biggest draw this weekend.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the 1985 NBA Slam Dunk Championship.
Air Jordan, as he's already known, will headline tonight's premier event, the Slam Dunk Contest against the Atlanta Hawks' Dominique Wilkins. Wilkins is known as the human highlight film. The dunk contest is still a few hours away, so Jordan and the other stars are having a light, quote, practice, if you can even call it that. All the players are going through the motions and cracking jokes ahead of tomorrow's really glorified exhibition. As per usual, they're all dressed in officially sanctioned NBA All-Star gear. Well, that is everyone except Jordan. He's wearing Nike, head to toe, and it's got everyone's attention. The rules say the players should all be dressed the same, but the rookie isn't going to let something as trivial as the rules stop him from showing off as the face of the swoosh. Actually, it's been kind of a thing this whole season, ever since Jordan signed an unprecedented endorsement deal with Nike. He's been violating NBA rules for months, risking fines to wear his red and black signature Nikes. And the Shoe Goliath has leaned into the controversy with an ad.
On September 15th, Nike created a revolutionary new basketball shoe. On October 18th, the NBA threw them out of the game. Fortunately, the NBA can't stop you from wearing them. Air Jordans from Nike.
Air Jordans are flying off the shelves at shoe stores across the country. After practice, Jordan makes his way through a crowd of adoring fans and finds himself standing at the elevators next to Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson. Jordan watches the easy way Isaiah and Magic smile and laugh with each other. They're friends. They hang out after games and go on vacation together during the summer. That's what Jordan wants. To hang out with, no, to be accepted by these two superstars and live the life of the NBA's elite. Sure, he's got swagger for a rookie. And yeah, he knows he can compete with these two guys on the court. But he's still a kid, almost to the point of having to keep himself from asking for autographs that weekend in Indianapolis. As the elevator doors open and they all step in, Jordan is thinking of ways to join in on their conversation. But nothing comes out. He remembers what he told a Bulls teammate about this All-Star weekend. I just want to be one of the guys. Before Jordan can say anything, Isaiah points to the Nike swoosh on Jordan's outfit and says,
"So, Rook, what's that about?"
Jordan shrugs and doesn't say much, but the chill is evident. Isaiah clearly doesn't like the way Jordan's style is sticking out. Jordan all of a sudden feels small, the furthest thing from feeling accepted and one of the guys. The elevator doors eventually open and Jordan gets out, leaving Magic and Isaiah laughing behind him. Jordan walks back to his room to get ready for tonight's dunk contest. He's competing tonight against Wilkins, but suddenly he's only got one new rival on his mind, Isaiah Thomas. That Rook comment had something extra in it, and Jordan isn't going to let it fly. He'll get to him tomorrow. Right now, he's got a crowd to wow at the dunk contest.
How about Michael Jordan on this layup?
Rod, that's a 10 for this judge.
But Jordan can't keep his mind off Thomas. He's obsessed. By the next day, he still can't stop replaying the sound of Isaiah laughing at him. And when he takes the court, that word's still echoing in his ears. Rook. Time to show that guy what this Rook can do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas opened the 1985 All-Star Game together in the backcourt as the East's starting guards.
And now starting for the Eastern Conference All-Stars. At guard, the league leader in assists, 6-1, from the Detroit Pistons, number 11, Isaiah Thomas. Also at guard, in his first NBA All-Star appearance, the 6'6 rookie from the Chicago Bulls, number 23, Michael Jordan.
The two connect early on a few passes, but as the game grinds on, they don't have much chemistry. George Gervin, an NBA star in the back half of his prime, has a big night, scoring 23 with Jordan trying to guard him. It's another point of frustration for MJ as he feels his team is hanging him out to dry, offering him no help on defense.
Michael Jordan expects good defense too.
And none of the white jerseys came back to help him out.
By the end of the game, Thomas, the point guard known for his brilliant passing, leads the Eastern team with 22 points. Jordan, the scoring prodigy, has just 7 points on 2-for-9 shooting. It's hardly the hello league moment that MJ was looking for at his first All-Star game. The next morning, as Jordan gets ready to leave Indianapolis, his mind is racing. He's come up with a theory. He's sure, absolutely convinced, that Isaiah was actively trying to make him look bad out there. The media is only fueling this fire as reporters come up to Jordan looking for comments about a supposed, quote, freeze-out orchestrated by Isaiah against the popular rookie. That rook comment in the elevator is still ringing loudly in Jordan's ears. He's sure Isaiah told the other Eastern All-Stars to ignore Jordan's presence on the court completely, both in not passing to him on offense and not helping him out on defense. And this is 1985. People know who Michael Jordan is because of his shoes and commercials, but it's not like they can watch many, if any, of his actual games. So the All-Star Game is, or was, supposed to be his big coming out party to the basketball world. Instead, in his mind, he's being shown up by guys he looked up to. Jordan tells reporters that it all made him feel small, that he felt like crawling in a hole and hiding, never coming out. Jordan tells them, I was very quiet when I went down there. I don't want to go there like I'm a big shot rookie and you must respect me. To Michael Jordan, it's simple. The other guys were against him, like some sort of clique, and Isaiah was their ringleader. And he isn't alone with this theory. The idea of a freeze-out is something many around the league are quietly whispering about. That it's a thing people are starting to acknowledge as reality might have been actually worse for Jordan. It quickly becomes his all-consuming motivation. Remember, Michael Jordan is the king of chipping his own shoulder. It's fueled him his entire life, from the Little League fields to his JV basketball team. He's a grudge-holding phenom. First, he takes offense, and then he obsessively tries to beat whatever or whoever he holds accountable into the ground. In this case, it's Isaiah Thomas. As Jordan leaves Indy to start the second half of his rookie NBA season, Jordan thinks about his next real game with the Bulls and his next real opponent, which happens to be the Detroit Pistons and Isaiah Thomas. A day after All-Star Weekend on February 11th of 1985, Michael Jordan is back at Bulls practice in Chicago. Jordan is now fuming about Thomas, telling his teammates he's going to show up Isaiah in front of the world. Before the tip-off, Isaiah finds Jordan to talk about the All-Star game and the supposed freeze-out. Isaiah tells him, "Mike, don't fall for all that crap. It's a media invention." Jordan responds, "Okay, Zeke." Jordan calls Isaiah by his nickname. "Whatever you say." Isaiah apologizes with, "I'm sorry you got caught up in it. It really was not a thing." Jordan is having none of it. Bull, he decides. He won't give Isaiah the chance to apologize. He cuts him off. It's time to play ball. It doesn't matter if it really happened or not. People believed it happened, and that's embarrassing enough for Jordan. He thinks to himself, "It's now my chance to show him what I've already shown everyone my whole life. Don't ever doubt me. Don't ever try to beat me. I will make you wish you never existed." Early in the game, Jordan gets a one-on-one opportunity with Isaiah guarding him, and he goes to work.
Here's the matchup. I bet Michael won it. Now we're down to 8 on the clock, 12 on the quarter clock. Starts to accelerate, spins at the foul, into the paint, dishes off, hold him, jam.
Jordan doesn't let up on Isaiah and the Pistons. He pounds them all game long, scoring 49 in an overtime win.
Let's take 10 for an ID as they give Michael Jordan for his 49 a standing O in Chicago. A well-deserved one.
Glaring at Thomas, he's snorting and dunking his way to 49 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. It's his clear best NBA game yet. And Thomas, he only manages 19 points on a lousy 5 for 15 shooting. The press calls it Jordan's, quote, revenge game, but to Jordan, it's just what happens when you try to beat him. Jordan still isn't a proven winner yet. He's a scorer, an entertainer, and most of all, a dream spokesperson, but as his rookie season winds down, his legend grows. The next season, Air Jordan becomes an even bigger deal with more sponsors, highlight tapes, and TV appearances. He goes on Letterman.
Can I read a list of the Mr. Jordan's endorsements? McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Nike, Wilson Basketballs, Chicagoland Chevrolet. Chicagoland Chevrolet? You don't look like a Chevy man.
While Jordan builds a brand and jokes with late night hosts, Isaiah and the Pistons are actually the clearly more successful team. Year after year, the Pistons will come out of the Eastern Conference as the champions, and Michael will be the flashy scoring leader with no championship rings. But what Isaiah doesn't yet realize is that the alleged 1985 All-Star Game freeze-out is still going to cost them. Michael Jordan is out for revenge, and he never, ever lets up. In our next episode, Michael Jordan battles his way to the top of the Eastern Conference, only to find himself face-to-face with Isaiah Thomas again and again. Isaiah and the Pistons own the Bulls in these early matchups, but each win in the 1980s ends up costing him in the 90s because Michael Jordan is always keeping score. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Sports Wars. If you did, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening on a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of this podcast. You'll find the episode notes and some offers from our sponsors. By supporting our sponsors, you help us offer the show for free. If you like what you've heard, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe. Another way to support us is to answer a short survey at wondery.com/survey and tell us what Sports Wars stories you'd like to hear. And a quick note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. And we use many sources for our stories, thanks to the Detroit Free Press, Chicago Tribune, ESPN, NBC, and the films made about Jordan and Isaiah, including many others who've reported the anecdotes included in this episode. I'm your host, Dan Rubenstein. Sam Smith wrote this story, produced by Yaron Descalo, Gabe Goodwin, and Matt Ford. Edited by Caleb Bissinger. Sound design by Kill the Messenger. And our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Marsha Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift.
She is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.